Father, once again we come to the sacred cupboard. We reach into the Holy Scriptures and we want to look at this theme that is relevant to us as we end the one year and begin another. We ask our God that you would help us in the new year to understand more of what it means to redeem the time, for the days are evil. Draw near, give help in understanding, give help in hearing, and give help in living out this verse. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Our text this evening comes from Ephesians 5 and verse 15, as our brother Neil told us. See then that you walk carefully, not as fools, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. I thought I should justify my use of the same picture as the background for both morning and evening. You know, I hope you get the sense that we're on the earth at the exact same place that in relationship to the sun that we were a year ago. And we're about to embark on another one of those revolutions around the sun that takes us the 365 1/4 days. Now, as we come to Ephesians, I want us to breeze over more quickly the first two points of our study. First of all, the believer's walk in wisdom, Roman numeral 1, to see this setting of walking in wisdom. And Paul has a practical division coming through the three chapters of more of doctrine to the three chapters, beginning chapter 4, of more practical exhortation. Walk, therefore, in unity. Walk in separation from the world. Walk in love. Walk in light. Thank you. Walk in wisdom. And then, as we come to this final walk, therefore, in wisdom section, chapter 5, 15 through chapter 6 and verse 9, what does it mean to walk in wisdom? It's the skill in living. We're told to redeem the time, and we are to therefore glorify God in our key relationships. I want us to remember that as we're looking at this text of redeeming the time, this is something of the introduction into these key relationships of husband and wife, of mom and dad in relationship to children, children in relationship to their parents, and then, of course, the relationship of the master-slave or the employer-employee relationship. And then further, the number 3 here, this walk in wisdom section begins with 3 contrasts. In verse 15, not unwise, but wise. Not foolish, verse 17, but with understanding, with knowledge. In verse 18, not drunk, but filled with the Holy Spirit. And with that, we'll come back to the handout sheet, or I'll come back to the handout sheet. And notice with me section or B, the contrast of walking wisely or unwisely. And here, I just want to remind you of the biblical meaning of the word wisdom. It is a skill in living. You remember how Bezalel exemplifies this in the Old Testament. God gave him wisdom. God gave him skill in knowing how to build that tabernacle. And that whole skill in building that building transfers over where we want skill and wisdom in building our lives. Lives that at the end of the day, you look at them and you don't shake your head and cover your eyes with a sense of embarrassment. that kind of thing is leaning this way and that way at the same time, and it doesn't look like it's going to stand up the test of time. We want to have a skill and ability in building our lives for the glory of God. And then thirdly, C, lessons from walking in wisdom. The wise man's great goal is not the pleasure of the moment, but it is to redeem the time. It is to live for the glory of God. The wise man recognizes his own evil tendencies. The beach bum can tell you to live by your impulse, do whatever you feel like doing, follow along in the same advice of young John Newton when he was far from God. Don't think, just do. Proverbs 21 stands in opposition to that. Every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise, 12:15. And 14:12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Further, the wise man puts a premium on God-honoring relationships. It certainly is no accident that Paul is coming into this section saying, walk in wisdom, be filled with the Spirit, and there are to be these characteristics that mark us. And then he moves into, this is how a husband is a loving servant leader to his wife, and this is how a wife shows respect to her husband, and this is how a child honors his parents, and this is how a dad is careful not to provoke his children to wrath. This walking in wisdom is coming into these most important of relationships. So you can't say, well, I'm redeeming my time, while you're ignoring your wife or ignoring your husband or ignoring your children or ignoring your parents. Further, the wise man, by way of lesson, the wise man patterns his life after the wise God. It's a little bit hard to say that I should live a helter-skelter life with no order when I claim to have a heavenly Father who has designed it so that our earth is going to go around the sun in 365 days and a quarter. This year, last year, and boringly, the year before that, yes, with slight variation, we're slowing down, but it's the same thing. And the sun comes up as we speak every morning, and the sun goes down boringly. There is order that is worked into God's world. Now, Roman numeral 2, the believer's knowledge of the Lord's purpose. As we talk of this wisdom, I want us to see it in this context. We're going to jump over verse 16 for just a moment, come to verse 17, where we read, New American Standard, I'll read, so then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You don't want to be out of your mind foolish. You don't want to be a moral fool in the sense of the book of Proverbs, but you want to have an understanding. You want to know what the will of the Lord is. Secondly, the importance of the Lord's will. Understand what the will of the Lord is. There is a decreed will that takes us back to the boardroom of God, where God has, after the counsel of his own will, determined that he's going to do such and such. But when you and I are looking at what we want to do for 2018, we're not overly concerned with what God has decided in the boardroom. We're more concerned about what God put on two tablets of stone. There is the decreed will of God, and there is this revealed will of God, where God's will is very plain and evident what he wants for us. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 3, "For this is the will of God," this is the revealed will of God, "your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality." But in our particular section here, see the will of God again in Ephesians 6 and verse 5, "Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." Here is an emphasis on the revealed will of God. And we do it, again, the context of being filled with the Spirit. So we don't want to be simplistic. We don't want to just light on this this phrase of redeeming the time and ignore the context of understanding God's will, of having the Spirit helping us and being mindful of these key relationships as we are redeeming the time. Listen to Ollyett here on the whole matter of the will of God. What is God's will for your life? Have you tried to find out? What commitments does the Lord want you to take on? What commitments does he want you to drop? Whom does he want you to write? Who does he want you to visit? In what Christian work does he want you to get involved? In what special studies to undertake? What hobbies are legitimate? What proportion of your time should you spend at home? What amount of time should you spend in extra hours at work? All these questions we should be able to answer because we have thought and prayed them through. We should not be unwise, but should have an understanding of what the Lord wants from us. And then with the time that remains, let's come to Roman numeral 3. The believer's redemption of opportunities. The believer's redemption of opportunities. First of all, A, the figure of buying time, redeeming the time. Here we have an intensified form of a business word for purchase. He wants us to purchase time. He wants us to purchase opportunities. It's a word that is used of buying an item in the marketplace, even the purchase of the slave. It's not the key word of redemption that we have in Ephesians 1 and verse 7, that we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is used of Christ redeeming us in Galatians 3, but it's not that more technical term of the ransom price, but as Thayer gives it, the meaning seems to be make a wise and sacred use of every opportunity for doing good, so that zeal and well-doing are, as it were, the purchase money by which we make the time our own. Buy the time, make the most of every opportunity that is before you. Now, we have that common word for buy. We also have the common word for time. In Ephesians 1 and verse 10, Paul in this epistle uses it in this way, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, the ages, he might gather together one in one all things in Christ. But one of the reasons why our brother read for us the Galatians 6:10 passage was so that we would hear this word time in a different English word. Therefore, as we have opportunity, our word for time in our passage, as we have time, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith. So time can stand for the opportunity of what is done in that period of time. Okay, so there we have it, A, the figure of buying time. And now, notice with me, B, the reason for buying time. Because the days are evil. Because the days are morally reprehensible. You cannot just go with the flow. You need to recognize that the flow is going to take you where you do not want to go or where God does not want you to go. Galatians 1 and verse 4, Jesus, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age. And the present evil age is under the evil one. So if we just go along with whatever happens to be on the television program in front of you, if you just go in the direction of the conversation at your workplace, if you just go with the flow of this present evil age, then you're missing the point of this passage. Look at the opportunity, look at the time before you, and buy it. Seize it so that you can do the most good for the glory of God. Listen to O'Brien. Although they live in the midst of these evil days as they await their final redemption, these, Ephesians, are neither to avoid them nor to fear them. Rather, they are to live wisely, taking advantage of every opportunity in this fallen world to conduct themselves in a manner that is pleasing to God. And another writes, unrelenting warfare exists between the God of heaven and the God of this age. In essence, believers are commanded not to let the God of this age intimidate them, but to take advantage of every opportunity in this immoral environment to live a life that pleases God. So there's our command. Buy the time. Seize the opportunity and do the most good that you possibly can. Why? Because if you just go with the flow, you will be going with the flow of the God of this present evil age. Now, thirdly, see. Five observations on buying time. These are drawn largely from Jonathan Edwards as he wrote of the preciousness of time. Number one, time is precious because a happy or miserable eternity depends on your good use of time. Whether you value God enough to believe in the Lord Jesus in this life, and what rewards you will receive out there in eternity will depend largely on what you are doing here in this present evil age. Number two, time is precious because it is short and uncertain. How much time do you have? Well, at most you have 100 years. A number of us hope we don't have 100 years here. Or we'll know too much of what we were talking about from Ecclesiastes 12, of the old age part. Time is precious because it is short and uncertain. At most, you and I have 100 years, but we have no assurance that we will get even one quarter of that small little maximum that is allowed to us in this world. Number three, from Jonathan Edwards. Those who spend their time idly most need to hear the word to redeem the time. Those who enjoy wasting their time will probably be least open to hearing that they ought not to waste their time. Well, if you want a godly friend or a godly parent to back off from reminding you to make the most of your time, then take this lesson to heart. Those who spend their time idly most need to hear this word to redeem their time. And fourthly, consider that you're accountable to God for the use of all your time. Ephesians 5 and verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. God expects you and me to seize up time as something of a valuable commodity and then use it, employ it for God's glory. And number five, be especially careful to improve those parts of your time that are most precious. Lord's days, times of public worship. Edwards goes on to say, lose it not in either in sleep or in carelessness, inattention, or wandering imaginations. There was a guy who heard Whitfield preach. And one of the indications that Whitfield was such a skillful preacher was that this man was no longer able to design ships in his mind while he was hearing Whitfield preach. That's what he was accustomed to do, evidently. But Whitfield wouldn't let him do that by the help of God's Spirit. Times of God's Spirit drawing near. We are to be careful to improve those parts of your time that are most precious and realize that there's something special about God coming and dwelling in the midst of his gathered people as we come on the Lord's Day to call on his name together. And now finally, fourthly, D, particular lessons from buying time. Particular lessons. First of all, number one. Start the new revolution around the sun as a believer. Isn't that the most important thing I could say tonight? You're finishing this revolution around the sun. God is telling you to redeem the time, to make the most of every opportunity that you have on every other time that you have around the sun, however many you have. But if you're still dead in your trespasses and sins, how can you redeem the time? How can you do anything right? You need to start at the starting point. God, give me a new heart. Help me to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help me to love him from the heart and serve him. Here's a Romans 13:11 text that was read. And do this, knowing the time that it is now high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light, the armor of understanding. And let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Help me to come and get united to Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing that you can do in beginning the new year, in seeking to value your time, in seeking to glorify God with all of the parts of your days and your years. Number two, particular lessons. Start the new revelation around the sun in walking with God. Read your Bible, have a plan. We talked about this last Lord's Day in Sunday school. Not all of you were there. But you need to walk with God. Read your Bible. Pray to God more. You can give me that advice. And I won't quibble with you. I won't argue with you. I won't say, well, you don't really know how much I'm praying. Pray more. Wherever we are in our walk with God, in our intake from the Word of God, don't we feel that there is room for improvement for our interaction with God to say, all right, Lord, you've said this in your Word. I want to respond by saying back to you this. I need to intercede on behalf of my friends. I have these special relationships, husband, wife, children, my parents. Pray to God more. Do you need friends? Do you need more friends in 2018? Do you need better friends? Well, perhaps you do. But don't run to your friends before you've run to God. Pray to God more. Number three, particular lessons from buying time. Start the new revelation around the sun, knowing your weaknesses with time. Are you habitually tardy? You're not redeeming the time. See it and correct it. The Lush family was regularly late. I couldn't get out of it. And I resolved that when I can get out of it, I don't want to be late anymore. See it and then change it. And be careful who you marry. Are you a procrastinator? Do you waste time getting started on some project? Proverbs 20 and verse 4, the lazy man will not plow because of winter. How do you expect me to go plow when it's this cold out there? Do you want to eat? There's going to be some inconvenience. He will beg during harvest and have nothing. He'll have plenty of excuses. 22:13, the lazy man says, there's a lion outside. I shall be slain in the streets. You couldn't possibly expect me to go out at a time like this. Proverbs 10 and verse 4, he who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. Are you a procrastinator? See it. Own it. And ask God to help you. Because it really doesn't matter what you're procrastinating in. It's not going to be a benefit to you. And it doesn't really matter what area we're talking about, whether we're talking about someone who is an auto mechanic, we're talking about someone who is a programmer. If you procrastinate, if you put it off, it's going to hurt you. But the hand of the diligent will rule. Know your weaknesses. Are you a workaholic? You see, redeeming the time is not becoming a workaholic. God gives us the weekly day of rest, and God gave the Israelites those 3-week-long feasts, those cycles of refreshment in the midst of their work. The workaholic can be very busy, but can be wasting valuable relationships. The workaholic can be very busy and have a beautifully manicured lawn, but an unfulfilled wife and undeveloped children. A failure to encourage that child, a failure to find out what is troubling him or her, and a failure to develop that relationship as he or she ought. Thessalonians speaks, or Paul is saying, this is what I did to you, like a good father does to his children. We exhorted, we comforted, and we charged. And each of those words has a little different nuance. And went back quickly this afternoon, just curious, how many times does my son, that exact expression, my son, appear in the book of Proverbs? 23 times. My son, I want to talk to you about this. My son, we need to talk. My son, we need to talk about this over here. Did I ever tell you, my son, about there needs to be developed that kind of rapport, that kind of relationship where we can just talk about anything. I mean, what's the purpose of being a dad if you can't say, my son, my daughter? We want to talk. I want to make sure that you understand how happy I am with you. I want you to understand a particular danger that I see coming up here on the horizon. Redeeming the time is not becoming a workaholic. If you become such a workaholic that there is a ignoring of these relationships, remember, husband and wife, child to parent, parent to child, there's got to be that balance. You're not redeeming the time if you're not keeping those kinds of relationships there in the front of your mind. And finally, as we're talking here about the use of our time and particular lessons, are you a procrastinator? Are you a workaholic? Are you making your time here count for eternity? If you spend hours a week on Facebook, is that really going to pay you dividends in eternity? Is God really calling you to keep up with 476 different lives? I'm afraid that you may become something more of a spectator in other people's lives than really investing your time aright so that you will have reward in eternity for what you're doing here. Paul made his life count for God, didn't he? And that's our standard. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 13, he says, "And besides, they learned to be idle, wandering from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips, busybodies, saying things which they are not." But instead, 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 8, "Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor." Here in the midst of this gospel figure, it's God who must give the increase, but somebody's going to scatter the seed and somebody's going to water. And God's going to keep track so that in eternity, he knows how to give a reward for that one who's planted and that one who watered. And Revelation 22 and verse 12 ends, "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work." And I think that's a good place for us to end this evening, talking about redeeming the time. Jesus is saying he's coming again, and he's saying, "I got my great big bag here of my reward with me." And that needs to mean something to you and me, that we want to know, what's in the bag for me, Lord? And if we have that question, then we have the thought, "Help me to be redeeming the time because the days are evil. I want what I do here to be valuable enough to God so that in eternity there's some sort of consideration for it. I'm coming, and I have my reward with me." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for leading us in the course of our ministry of the Word this day so that in the morning we had opportunity to reflect on remembering you, our Creator, in the days of our youth. And we pray, Lord, that for each one of our young people that would be an easy thing, that that would be regarded as a privilege to know the living God. And we would ask as well that as we consider our travel around the sun again in a new year, we don't know how long we have, but we pray that whatever measure of time, however many trips around the sun you're going to give to us, we pray that you would help us to have an eye on you and your glory. And we pray that you would help us to buy up the time and use it in a way that is going to be a credit to you. And we ask this in our mighty Savior's name. Amen.